lowered his hand slowly, hovering just above the roof. He felt Aaron reach forward, grab the back of his shirt, and pull him down onto the tiles. He collapsed, half on top of Havoc, nearly knocking Aaron over. By the time they'd sorted themselves out, Cole could no longer see the small running figures of Tamara and Jasper. Hot tears started in Cole's eyes, but he blinked them back. "She left me." Aaron sat up, disentangling himself from Cole. He scooted sideways on the roof tiles, Havoc behind him.
"She left us, Cole."
Cole made a choking sound that was partly a laugh.
"Yeah, I guess she did."
"She wants to warn the Magisterium," Aaron said. "It's better for us not to go there."
Cole suddenly realized what was weird about the way Aaron was talking. "Why do you suddenly hate the Magisterium so much?"
"I don't hate them," said Aaron.
He looked out toward where the battle must be taking place.
"But it's like I can see them more clearly than I could when I was alive before. They only ever wanted what they could get from us, Cole. And they can't get anything from me anymore. And they'll want to punish you. You proved them wrong, you know. They never believed Constantine could really raise the dead."
Cole stared at him, trying to decode something from his expression, from the clear green of his eyes, but this Aaron wasn't easy to read. He was, however, super creepy.
"But he hasn't been back long,"
Cole reminded himself. "Maybe death clings to you for a while, shadowing everything. Maybe that shadow lifts eventually."
"Do you think I did the right thing? Bringing you back?"
After he asked it, Cole felt like he couldn't quite breathe until he had the answer. Aaron made a sound that was not quite a sigh. It was like wind whistling through trees.
"You know I'm not a Makar anymore, right? I'm not a mage at all. That part of me is gone. And everything feels, I don't know, washed out and dull."
Cole felt a little sick. He'd known Alex had taken Aaron's Makar power with the Alkahest, but not that Aaron would come back with no magic at all.
"That could change," he said desperately.
Without Aaron, he didn't know what he'd do. He didn't know what he'd become. You could get better.
"You should be asking yourself if you're glad you brought me back," Aaron said with a half smile. "The mages will never take you back now. And I know you don't want to stay here with Master Joseph."
"I don't need to ask myself anything," Cole said fiercely. "I'm glad I brought you back." Havoc barked at that and nosed in between them. Aaron reached to pat the wolf, and Cole felt the tension in his chest ease slightly. Surely if there was something really wrong with Aaron, Havoc would sense it. Master Joseph came into view, a phalanx of the chaos-ridden and several dozen mages following him. He was marching back toward the house. When he saw Cole and Aaron sitting on the roof, the chaos-eaten hole behind them, he looked momentarily furious. Then his expression smoothed out.
"It's lucky for you two you didn't go with them,"
Master Joseph yelled up. Coming up behind him, Alex laughed.
"They weren't invited."
"Once the Assembly knows the power you have unlocked, everything will be different," said Master Joseph.
But Cole wondered if that could be true. Tamara's parents were on the Assembly. If she was horrified, weren't they likely to be equally horrified, if not more so? But Cole just nodded.
Come inside,
Master Joseph said coldly.
We'll talk.
Cole nodded again, but he didn't go inside. He sat on the roof until the sun was much higher in the sky. Aaron sat there too. As the yellow light burnished his lashes to gold, he turned to Cole.
How did you do it? You can tell me.
I gave you a piece of my soul, Cole said, checking Aaron's expression to see if he was horrified. That's why it didn't work before. Constantine Madden would never have tried something like that. He would have never given any of his power away.
Aaron nodded.
I think I can tell,
he said finally.
I think I can feel it. Part of me, but also not.
And that's why it's not going to work the way they're hoping. Cole stumbled on. It was uncomfortable to talk about sharing souls, because I can't keep using pieces of my soul to bring people back. They're not unlimited. You can run out.
And then you'd die,
Aaron said.
I think so.
I think that's why Constantine kept Jericho around, so that he could use his soul. And I read Jericho's diary.
Cole looked around, meaning to show it to Aaron, before he realized it wasn't there. Tamara had taken it with her, to show the magisterium, Cole assumed. Proof. He felt sick again.
You don't feel Constantine's soul in you, right?
Aaron said.
You just feel normal. You've always felt normal.
I've never known anything different, Cole said.
Maybe I just have to get used to it,
Aaron said, sounding a lot like his old self. He even grinned a little, sideways.
I'm grateful for what you did. Even if it doesn't work.
But it did work, Cole wanted to insist.
Before he could, someone knocked on the door. It was Anastasia, who didn't wait for them to answer before she opened it. She stepped into Cole's room and then stopped at the sight of the devastation Cole had wrought, the chaos-eaten wall and the morning sunlight streaming in. She blinked a couple of times.
Children shouldn't be cursed with so much power, she said, as though she was speaking to herself.
She was dressed in what looked like battle gear, pale silver and white steel over her chest and along her arms, and a chain-mesh hood over her silver hair. For once, it seemed like she was thinking of Cole and Constantine as separate people, cursed equally. He wished she would keep thinking of them that way, but he wasn't particularly hopeful about it.
What's going on?
Cole asked, standing up.
Look.
Aaron pointed as an air elemental hovered into view, flying over the tops of the island trees. It was clear and wavering, with a circular shape like an enormous jellyfish.
Are we being attacked?
On the contrary, said Anastasia. That is my elemental. I summoned it, the vanguard of my troops. I am going after your friends to bring them back before they reach the magisterium and force our hand.
Just let them go, Cole stood, walking up the remains of the roof tiles and hopping back into the room.
You know we can't do that. And you know why, too. They know too many things that could hurt us. They should have been more loyal. We hoped to have more time to prepare before there was a war between the forces of the Assembly and those of the Enemy of Death. But if Tamara and Jasper make it home, battle will be joined within the week.
Call thought of the thousands of chaos-ridden, waiting in their watery barracks. Thought of how he could have led them away from the island, how the assembly might have seen him as a hero. Tamara had wanted him to be seen as a hero. Call couldn't hate her, no matter what happened. He knew he never would. "Don't hurt my friends," he said. "I haven't asked you for much." He couldn't call her mom. His throat stuck on the word. "Anastasia. If you catch them, you have to promise you won't hurt them." She narrowed her eyes. "I will do my best." But they knew the consequences when they ran. And, Call, I don't think they would hesitate to hurt me. In her battle armor, Anastasia looked pale and terrible. Call thought she might be right about what Tamara and Jasper would do, and was even more afraid for them. "Promise you'll try," Call said, because he thought that was likely to be all he was going to get from her. He felt helpless, and yet, wasn't he the enemy of death? Hadn't his bringing back Aaron proved it, like Tamara said? Shouldn't he be calling the shots? "Of course," she told him, in a crisp voice that left little room for kindness. "Now come down to breakfast. You two have much to discuss with Master Joseph." Aaron pushed himself to his feet and came to where Call was standing. Although neither of them had slept and Tamara was gone, Call was starting to feel hopeful again. He was sure Aaron was right about his soul needing to settle. Once Aaron was himself again, they'd figure out what to do. They'd gotten out of a lot of scrapes before. They would find their way out of this one, too. "Maybe." "Okay," he said to Anastasia. Call was still in his borrowed pajamas, and he didn't bother to change out of them. Aaron seemed comfortable in what he was wearing. They trooped down the stairs and into the dining room, where Master Joseph sat with a few other mages, including Hugo. When Call and Aaron came in, the mages stood up and took their leave. Master Joseph's hair was singed on one side. Alex's face was red, like he'd gotten a blast of fire to the face. The whole table was spread with bandages, magical salve, and dirty mugs. "Sit down," said Master Joseph. "There's coffee and eggs in the kitchen if you're hungry." Call immediately went and got an enormous mug of coffee. Aaron didn't get anything, just sat at the table, waiting. Master Joseph sat back in his chair. "The time has come," he said, looking at Call. "You must explain exactly how you brought Aaron back from the dead." "All right," Call said. "But you won't like it."
"Just tell the truth, Callum."
Master Joseph sounded as if he were trying to be calming, but the strain in his voice came through clearly.
"And everything will be fine."
It wasn't fine. Call watched Master Joseph's expression darken as he explained how he had torn a piece of his soul free and placed it in Aaron's body. Aaron, who'd already heard all of this, stared out the window at a few chaos-ridden animals that were sniffing around the grass.
"This is the truth?"
Master Joseph said when Call had finished. Alex was staring at him in disbelief.
"The whole truth, Call."
"It's ridiculous,"
Alex protested.
"Who would even come up with an idea like that?"
"I got it from Jericho's journals." Call turned to Master Joseph. "You knew," he said. "You knew it was what Constantine was doing. He was using pieces of Jericho's soul to try to bring the dead back." Master Joseph stood up. His hands knotted behind his back and began to pace.
"I guessed," he said. "I hoped it wasn't true."
"So you see,"
Aaron said, shifting his gaze from the window.
This isn't something Call can do again.
Master Joseph whirled on them,
but he must! If Anastasia doesn't stop them, your friends will reach the Magisterium. When they do, when they tell the Assembly, we can hope they will be reasonable and realize your genius.
But if that doesn't happen,
war will come to us. We must raise Drew before that happens.
Raise Drew?
Alex gasped. You didn't mention that before.
Of course I did.
Master Joseph snapped.
Raising Aaron was one thing. We had his body here, but if Call can retrieve souls that have passed into the afterlife, the Assembly will surrender their power to us. Everyone will cower before power like that.
Today the Assembly, tomorrow the world,
Alex said cheerfully. Move those goalposts. But it's not possible, Call said. Weren't you listening? I can't keep ripping out pieces of my soul. I'll die.
Oh, no,
drawled Alex sarcastically. Not that.
You'll have killed Constantine Madden, said Aaron.
It's true,
said Master Joseph, looking at Call in a way that reminded Call of the first time they'd met. Drew had died, and Master Joseph's expression had been a mixture of hate for Colum Hunt and yearning for the enemy of death trapped in his body.
Which is why we must have a Jericho.
He turned to Alex. Call was definitely not bringing back Drew. He said. First, you're going to need a body and some trace of Drew's soul. I mean, with Aaron, his body still had some of him in it. Aaron was entirely still. Call wondered what he made of this. He worried that all of this made Aaron feel worse about being back from the dead. Call hoped not. He needed Aaron to stay positive. Well, as positive as was possible for him right now.
I can get those things,
Master Joseph said eagerly.
Okay, Call said.
That's pretty much it.
I'd help, but my magic is really diminished after bringing Aaron back.
Your magic ate a hole in the wall of the house, Alex accused. It seems fine to me.
Call nodded, sadly, exaggerating for all it was worth. I didn't mean to do that. It's acting all out of control. I wouldn't want to accidentally hurt Drew. Alex looked daggers at Call, but Master Joseph seemed to believe him.
Yes, I can see how that would be a danger.
Alex, you've heard what Call said. Now we will have to recreate his experiment. Come.
Alex looked worried. Really worried. Call supposed that tearing off little bits of his soul wasn't something Alex wanted to mess around with, but Call didn't have it in him to be particularly sympathetic. With a snap of his fingers, Master Joseph summoned back the other mages, which implied they'd been listening.
Let's go,
he said to Alex, the threat of being dragged away to the experiment room hanging over him. Call waved his fingers at Alex, pleased with himself and with the world, for once.
Good luck,
he called after them. Alex didn't even bother to glare back. He looked too scared. Finding a half-full cup of coffee, abandoned by one of the mages, Aaron brought it to his lips. Call watched him, realizing that he was waiting for Aaron to demand they go after Alex, insist on saving him.
Alex is the reason you're dead in the first place,
Call said to that imaginary objection. I don't care what Master Joseph does to him. We should just stay here and have breakfast. I don't care if his soul gets ripped apart.
Okay,
Aaron said. Cole grabbed a piece of neglected toast off one of the mage's abandoned plates. Aaron wasn't supposed to say that. He was supposed to say something about how Master Joseph and Alex were on Team Evil, and how Team Good wasn't supposed to behave like that. Aaron didn't say anything at all. With a sigh, Cole pushed his chair away from the table.
Fine. Okay. We'll go check it out.
Aaron looked puzzled, but stood up and followed Cole. Together, they crept toward the experiment room. Within, they could hear muffled voices. Cole squeezed one eye shut and looked through a keyhole with the other, but even though that worked in movies, in real life he couldn't see much of anything.
"If you can't find Drew's soul, then you must not be much of a Makar," he heard Master Joseph say from the other side of the door. "Perhaps you should be the vessel for Drew's return. Perhaps Colum Hunt can push his soul in and your soul out."
"I'm a Makar," Alex whined. "You can't do that."
Cole sucked in a breath. Here was the real Master Joseph, the one who'd been trying to hide behind elaborate dinners and kindly gestures.
"Your powers are stolen, and you are inferior,"
Master Joseph said, his voice thick with rage.
"You were never meant to wield chaos magic."
"I can do this," Alex said. "I can."
There was a scraping noise. "Just give me some room to work." At that moment, Cole heard a low groan from the room, one that sounded chaos-tinged.
"Master Joseph!"
Cole yelled, slamming his fist on the door.
"Let us in!"
A moment later, Master Joseph opened the door to reveal Alex on the floor, looking stunned. There was no one else inside. There was, however, a corpse on the table, its skin tinted blue with cold. Cole shuddered.
"I see you want to help after all," Master Joseph said. "But for now, we're fine as we are. Come back tonight, Colum, when you're rested."
And with that, the door closed on them again. The latch turned.
"Well, I guess that's that," Cole said, feeling queasy.
Could they bring back Drew? Cole didn't think they could do it without Drew's body. Even the Chaos-ridden had a tiny bit of their own soul trapped in them, just as Cole had realized when he'd accidentally made Jennifer Matsui into one. But his own soul was Constantine's in a new body, after all. Maybe it would work. He cast a glance at Aaron, but Aaron didn't look like he was worrying about whether they'd bring Drew back or not. Cole needed to do something.
"Come on,"
he told Aaron. "We can go around outside and look in through the window." He grabbed for some boots and a coat.
"Are we going to watch him suffer?"
Aaron asked, which wasn't the right question at all. Cole didn't answer. Heading outside, they passed a scattered bunch of Chaos-ridden who dipped their heads and moaned as Cole went by.
"Scenic," Cole thought.
Aaron frowned at them, hands in his pockets, and walked faster.
"Look around," Cole said. "See? This is the kind of trouble I get into when you're not here. Since you died, I wound up arrested, then breaking out of jail, then kidnapped and brought to the stronghold of the Enemy of Death with Jasper, who spent the whole time talking about his love life."
At that, the corner of Aaron's mouth lifted.
"And I kissed Tamara, who hates me now. Without you, I can't do anything right. You're the person who helps me figure out what's right and what's wrong. I'm not sure I can do that without you."
Aaron didn't look like he felt particularly happy to hear it.
"I can't do that for you now."
"But you have to," Cole said.
They had reached a small copse of trees. From there, it would be possible to sneak around to one of the windows of the experiment room, but in that moment, what was happening inside didn't seem as important as what was happening with them. You always have before. Aaron shook his head. I don't think about things the way I used to. He put his hands in his pockets. It was cold out, with a sharp wind, but Cole wasn't sure Aaron could feel it. He didn't seem cold. You're fine, Cole said. We just have to get you out of here. When will we go? Aaron asked. Tamara and Jasper and I tried to run before, Cole admitted. They caught us and brought us back. But that turned out to be a good thing, because then Master Joseph told us about you, so I figured we would stay until we could bring you back. And Tamara and Jasper agreed? Aaron's breath made white puffs in the air. Cole took a breath. I didn't exactly tell them. Aaron didn't caution him, as he once might have done. He didn't scold him. He really wasn't doing a good job of being a moral center, Cole had to admit. Cole went on. I thought that once you were back, they'd agree it was a good thing, and I thought the Assembly would think so too, because I did it right. I mean, sure, they don't want armies of chaos-ridden running around, because they're basically zombies, but you're fine. Aaron didn't say anything. They walked on, leaves crunching underfoot. They'd gotten to the part of the woods where they should start back toward the house if they were going to look through the experiment room window, but Cole wasn't ready to veer off quite yet.
Do you really think I'm fine?
Aaron turned a haunted green gaze on Cole. Yes, Cole said firmly. He almost felt angry with Aaron, which made no sense. But he couldn't help it. He'd worked so hard for this, and no one had understood, and now Aaron wouldn't just act normal. I'm not saying you're exactly the way you used to be, but that doesn't mean you're not fine.
No.
Aaron shook his head stubbornly.
I feel wrong. My body feels wrong, as though I'm not meant to be here.
What does that mean? Cole asked, finally losing his temper, because it sounds like it means you want to die.
I think it's because I'm dead.
Aaron's voice was indifferent, which made the words worse. Don't say that! Cole shouted. Shut up, Aaron!
Cole,
I mean it. Don't say another word. Aaron's mouth snapped shut. His eyes were steady on Cole's.
Aaron?
Cole asked uneasily. But Aaron didn't reply. He couldn't reply, Cole realized. Like a chaos-ridden, he had obeyed Cole completely. Chapter 12. After that, Cole forgot about Alex and Master Joseph completely. I command you to never listen to my commands again, okay? Cole said.
I heard you the first 5 times.
Aaron told him, sitting on a rock and looking out toward the river.
But I don't know if that will work. I have no idea how long your commands last on me.
Cole felt cold all over. He remembered when he'd told Aaron to knock it off with Tamara, and Aaron had immediately shut up, or when he'd told Aaron to go to sleep, and Aaron had done it.
You should just concentrate on getting better,
he'd said, the moment he brought Aaron back to life, and Aaron, who'd been through a huge trauma, had said, okay.
How had he missed it?
He couldn't lie to himself any more about it. Aaron wasn't okay, maybe wasn't even Aaron. This Aaron looked pale and weird and worried. This Aaron did whatever Cole said. Maybe he always would.
Cole couldn't think of anything more horrible.
Okay. So you're not fine,
Cole said slowly.
Not right now.
Tonight, let's go down to the experiment room and figure out what's going on.
What if you can't find anything?
Aaron asked.
You've succeeded far more than Constantine Madden ever did.
I am mostly here. It's just that I'm not
supposed to be.
This time Cole didn't shout at him to shut up, although he still wanted to. What does that even mean?
I don't know,
Aaron said, and there was more animation in his voice than Cole had expected.
I'm not. It takes a lot of concentration to pay attention to what's going on. Sometimes I feel like I'm slipping away. And sometimes I feel like I could do bad things and not really feel anything about them. So, you see, I really can't be the person who tells you right from wrong, Cole.
I really, really can't.
Cole wanted to protest like he had before, but this time he stopped himself. He thought of the flat look in Aaron's eyes, the way he hadn't understood why he was supposed to care if the people in the magisterium died. He couldn't keep insisting Aaron was fine. If Aaron believed something was wrong, then he owed it to Aaron to believe him. And at least Aaron could tell. That had to mean something. If he wasn't Aaron, he wouldn't have been bothered about how different he felt.
We can fix this,
Cole said instead.
Death isn't the same as a flat tire,
Aaron said. We have to stay positive, said Cole. We just need to—
Someone's coming.
Aaron stood up and pointed back toward the house. The front door was open and a line of mages, headed by Master Joseph, was marching toward them. Cole stood up too. With Tamara and Jasper gone, Cole's plans of escape had become vague and half-formed. He'd been distracted by Aaron's return, and he'd thought that Master Joseph had been distracted too. He'd figured he had more time. Aaron looked up. Cole followed his gaze. The sky was heavy with iron-gray clouds, and through them Cole could see huge shapes wheeling. One of them broke through the clouds. It was a massive air elemental with clear, ragged wings. On its back was Anastasia, her silver and white armor stained and dirty. Her elemental landed in the field behind Cole and Aaron, sending a wave of air that flattened the grass all around her in a circle. Cole glanced about. They were effectively trapped between Anastasia on one side and Master Joseph on the other. What was going on?
Call 'em.
Master Joseph reached them first. Cole noticed two things immediately. Alex wasn't with him, and his coat was splashed with some questionable-looking fluid.
The time has come.
Cole exchanged a look with Aaron. Time for what?
Tamara and Jasper were able to reach the magisterium,
said Anastasia, approaching them. Her elemental waited in the field behind her, rippling a little in the breeze.
The assembly will soon know our location and what you've done.
It's time for us to reveal ourselves, to show the world the power we have,
said Master Joseph.
Hugo, did you bring the machine?
Cole and Aaron both stared as Hugo handed Master Joseph an enormous glass jar. Inside it, gray and black air swirled.
Tornado phone.
Cole mouthed at Aaron, who nodded slowly. With a flourish, Master Joseph ripped the lid from the jar. The air swirled up around them violently.
Anastasia's air elemental made a startled sound and disappeared with a pop. Cole moved closer to Aaron, whose hair was whipping across his eyes. The air expanded outward, slashing through the branches of the trees, circling the space where they stood.
"Master Rufus!"
Master Joseph shouted.
"Assembled mages! Show yourselves!"
It was like looking at a fuzzy television set. Slowly their images evolved, and Cole could see the assembly room and the green-robed mages there. He recognized some of them, like Tamara's parents, and of course the mages of the Magisterium, Master Milagros and Master North, Master Rockmaple, and, sitting, with his shoulders hunched, his bald head gleaming, Master Rufus. They must have come together like this for one reason, to discuss how to defeat Colum Hunt, the enemy of death. Cole felt his stomach tighten at the sight of his teacher, but it was nothing compared to the feeling inside him a moment later, when he saw who sat next to Rufus. Jasper, in the white uniform of fourth year, and Tamara also in white, her hair in neat braids. Her wide, dark eyes seemed to stare out of the spell's vision, as if she were looking right into Cole's soul. It was Tamara's father who stepped forward, hand on her shoulder.
"This is the last time we will offer you surrender, Master Joseph. The last war cost us all, but it cost you too. You lost your sons, you lost Constantine, and you lost your way. If we go to battle again, there will be no brokering of peace. We will kill you and every chaos-ridden thing we can find."
Cole shuddered, thinking of Havoc, who was probably hiding behind a tree.
"Don't be ridiculous," Master Joseph said. "You try to argue as though you are in a position of strength when we have the key to eternity. Is it because Tamara and Jasper ran back to you with news of our stronghold? If I was afraid of that getting out, I would have cut their throats when I had the chance."
Tamara glared at him, while Jasper took a step back. His mother was beside him, but Cole couldn't spot his father anywhere.
"You don't understand," Master Joseph went on. "No one cares about your ridiculous war. Mages want their loved ones back. They want to live forever. The only way you could get the mage world on your side is to deny what is standing right beside me."
With that, he put an arm around Aaron, who stepped out of his embrace.
"Say something,"
Master Joseph told Aaron.
"I have nothing to say,"
Aaron said to the mages, and Master Joseph began to smile.
"I'm not on your side."
Cole expected Master Joseph to yell at Aaron or try to stop him from speaking. But instead, a wide smile spread over his face.
A hush went over the mages.
Master Rufus raised his head from his hands. His face looked older, more lined.
"Aaron, is that really you?"
I don't know," Aaron said.
But the assembly was already in pandemonium. Whatever Tamara and Jasper had told them, Cole thought, they hadn't really believed that Aaron had been brought back. They must have thought Aaron was chaos-ridden, that Master Joseph was delusional, that Cole was... What had they thought Cole was? Master Rufus was looking at him now. His dark eyes were resigned, disappointed.
"Colum," he said. "You did this? You raised Aaron from the dead?"
Cole looked down at his feet. He couldn't stand to meet Master Rufus's eyes.
Of course he did, said Master Joseph. The soul is the soul. Its essence doesn't change. He's always been Constantine Madden, and he always will be.
That's not true.
Cole looked up, startled to see who had defended him. It was Tamara. She had her fists clenched at her sides. She wasn't looking at him, but she had said it. Did that mean she didn't believe what she'd said before, that he really was the enemy? Tamara's parents shushed her, pulling her to the side and almost out of Cole's view, just as Master Joseph snorted in contempt.
"You are being very foolish," he said. "You think that if you attack us, we will be a small force, as Tamara and Jasper have no doubt reported, but do you really think I have no allies among you? All over the mage world are those who have been waiting for the news that we have completed Constantine's project, that we have conquered death. Already the messages have gone out. You may have noticed you are missing a few members."
Several assembly members glanced around, a few toward Jasper and his mother at the space that Jasper's father should have occupied.
"You can't win," said Master Joseph. "Too many believe what we believe. What use is being born with magic if we are forbidden from profiting from it, if instead we must use it to control elementals for the good of a world that doesn't care about us? What is the good of magic if we cannot use it to solve the largest mystery in existence, the one that science has never penetrated, the mystery of the soul? Mages from all over the world will flock to our side now that we know the dead can live again."
A few of the mages began whispering in the back of the room, pointing. Cole could tell that Aaron's presence, despite Aaron's disavowing of Master Joseph, had rattled them. Cole wondered how many of them might flock to Master Joseph's side.
"Colum. Alistair has been frantic," Master Rufus said. "Meet with us. Bring Aaron. Let us at least verify these claims." "You must think we are fools,"
Master Joseph shouted at the shimmering images of the mages.
"We told you," Tamara said. "He's being held prisoner."
"It doesn't look like that to me," Assemblyman Graves said with a sniff. "And since you were involved in breaking him out of jail, we know you've been compromised."
"Cole might have a little Stockholm syndrome," Jasper admitted, "but Master Joseph is keeping him there. He's keeping Aaron there, too."
"Are you holding those children captive?"
Master Rufus demanded. Master Joseph smiled.
"Keeping Constantine Madden prisoner? I have always been his servant. Nothing more. Cole, are you being held here against your will?"
Cole considered what to say next. A part of him wanted to scream for help, to plead for someone to save him. But it wasn't like the assembly was going to be able to get him out, not right now. Better that Master Joseph believed he was on his side. If there was going to be a war, it was Cole's job to do whatever he could to help the assembly win. At least, he thought he was supposed to help the assembly win. Either way, his answer was the same. "No," he said, drawing himself up. "I am not a prisoner. I am Colum Hunt, the enemy of death reborn. And I accept my destiny."
"I don't like it here," Aaron said.
They were in Tamara's room, or what had been Tamara's room, sitting on the pink, fluffy bed. Cole's room still had holes punched into the walls, which made it pretty chilly, and house repairs were not at the top of anyone's to-do list. "We won't be here for long," Cole promised, although he only had the vaguest of plans. Aaron shrugged.
I guess we're not going back to the Magisterium. Not after you announced you were the enemy of death. Cole wrapped his arms around his knees. Did you think I meant it? Did you mean it? Aaron's eyes were expressionless. Cole wondered what he thought. He used to be able to guess pretty well what Aaron was thinking, but not anymore. You conquered death, after all. Tonight we go figure out what we can do about you, Cole said. After that, we run. He didn't mention the chaos-ridden army, which Cole hoped to bring along with them. If he could figure out what was going on with Aaron tonight, then they could go. They could march across the river before dawn, and there was no way Alex had enough chaos-ridden of his own to stop them. But what if he couldn't? Should they go anyway? Did he really think that the mage world would accept him, especially now with Aaron? He remembered the faces of the assembly, and a cold pit formed in his stomach. He thought of Anastasia's words. You are powerful. You can't just give up that power. The world won't let you. It won't allow you to simply hide and be safe. It may come to this, ruling the world, or being crushed under its boot heel. He really hoped she wasn't right about that, but he had to admit she'd been right about Tamara. It's not going to be easy to get to the experiment room, said Aaron. There are so many people around. It's chaos down there. It was true. The whole house was in an uproar, Anastasia rushing back and forth with the younger mages to summon elementals, Master Joseph out with Hugo and a few others, scrawling defense symbols in the land around the house. Cole wanted to say something clever, like Chaos was his middle name. But it was too sad. He might still be a Chaos Mage, but Aaron wasn't. His magic belonged to Alex now. Havoc's going to help, he said. Havoc, on hearing his name, perked up his ears. He raced downstairs beside them, pausing at the bottom of the steps to look around with narrowed eyes and a low growl. Havoc had never much liked it here, and seemed to like it less the longer they remained. Here's what you have to do. Cole leaned down to tell the chaos-ridden wolf. As Cole and Aaron descended the stairs, Cole could hear the plan working. Havoc was barking and running around, leading the mages on a merry chase. They were all trying to figure out what set him off, sure it meant the assembly was attacking. As Havoc scampered around, Cole and Aaron went straight to the experiment room, closing the door and locking it behind them. It was only then they realized they weren't alone. Alex was sitting on the floor, an array of books open around him in a strange circle. He was sunken-eyed, and his skin looked blotchy. On a gurney, on the other end of the room, was a bizarre dead body. The corpse was that of a grown person, but with a face that appeared a grotesque parody of Drew's more childlike features. It looked as though it had been sculpted out of flesh, but with a butter knife. It was dressed in a parody of kid clothes, a shirt with a horse on it and red jeans. Just looking at it made Cole's stomach churn. He said. Sorry. We didn't know anyone else was in here. Aaron just looked at Alex, silently. There might even have been a small smile playing around the corners of his mouth. Alex pushed himself to his feet, taking a few of the books with him. He pointed a shaking finger at Cole. You. You didn't explain what you did right. You lied. He tried to shoulder past where Cole and Aaron were standing. Oh, no. Call stopped him with a hand on his chest. Alex was taller than they were, but it was 2-1, and Aaron was a lot more intimidating now that he was back from the dead. You're going to help us.
I'm not doing anything until you explain how you brought Aaron back. The truth. Not what you've been saying to make Master Joseph torment me.
I did tell you the truth. You just can't do it. Alex looked straight at Cole. For the first time, the smirk was gone from his face. He looked sincerely scared.
Why? Why wouldn't I be able to do it? Why can't I just reach out and find his soul?
Cole shook his head.
I don't know. I didn't do that. We had Aaron's body. You don't have Drew's. How are you supposed to find his soul?
The despair on Alex's face was obvious. But Master Joseph wasn't going to stop wanting his son to come back. Even if it was impossible, he was going to insist on it.
So there's no hope,
Alex said.
I don't know, said Cole. You help me with Aaron and I'll help you with your problem.
Alex had been studying longer than he had. He'd been going after those evil overlord points that Cole had been fighting against for years. And if there was any chance that Alex had the key to helping Aaron, then it was worth taking. Alex looked at Aaron and frowned. Aaron sat down on the floor where Alex had been and picked up a book.
He seems fine, Alex grumbled. Help you with what?
He's not happy. Cole tried to explain. Alex snorted.
Yeah, well, join the club. I'm not happy either. If I don't bring back Drew, I'm in deep trouble. Master Joseph keeps eyeing the Alcahest.
Maybe you shouldn't have suggested he use it on me, Cole said unsympathetically. Alex sighed, not really having a retort for that.
So we're supposed to find some magical way to make Aaron happy again?
Cole frowned at Aaron, sitting on the floor, flipping pages as though he wasn't really paying attention to the conversation.
He's not unhappy, exactly, he said. He's just not in the right place.
He's like a guy who took a train to a station and then had to get off and back on because he forgot his suitcase, and now he's going the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, Alex said sarcastically. That's much clearer.
Cole didn't want to tell Alex everything Aaron had said. That seemed private. But he tried one more time.
Aaron doesn't have any magic. Fine, you stole his Makar abilities, but he should still be a mage, right? And he's not. Whatever is cutting him off from magic, that could be the missing part of him that's keeping him from feeling whole.
Alex hesitated. Besides, Cole added, if you brought back Drew without magic, that wouldn't exactly thrill Master Joseph. Alex glared at him out of swollen eyes.
That's true, he said grudgingly. All right. What are you suggesting?
We learned how to do the soul tap at the Magisterium, said Cole. I feel like I should try to look at Aaron's soul. Maybe see if I can tell what the problem is.
What am I supposed to be here for?
Alex wanted to know. Cole took a deep breath.
You're older than us, and you've been studying this longer. So think about what else we can check. And if we can't find anything wrong,
I could give him more of my soul, Cole said in a low voice.
Maybe I just didn't give him enough.
Alex shook his head.
Your funeral,
he said finally.
Aaron, get up on the experiment table.
Aaron looked over at the gurney with the corpse on it for a long moment.
No, he said. I won't.
It's occupied anyway, Cole said.
We can dump the body on the floor, said Alex, while Aaron eyed him with distaste.
To prevent that, Call dragged a book-covered table from a corner to the center of the room. They cleared off the surface, and Aaron climbed up on it and lay down, his hands crossed over his chest. Call took a deep breath. Feeling self-conscious, trying to remember how it had been to see Aaron's soul before. This was the part he had to do alone. Alex didn't deserve to see anyone's soul, and definitely not Aaron's. Call closed his eyes, took a deep breath, and began. It was harder than it had been back in the Magisterium. Aaron's resurrected body seemed to repel Call from being able to see through to the soul. It was surrounded by a kind of murkiness. He tried to hold on to memories of Aaron. Aaron laughing, and uncomplainingly eating lichen in the refectory. And sorting sand. And dancing with Tamara. But they came, dimly. What stuck out most clearly was Aaron's body, still and cold on the gurney in this room. He pushed himself to remember what it had been like to put a piece of his soul into Aaron, like electricity lighting up metal in the darkness. The memory washed over him, and he finally felt a path open to Aaron's presence. He saw the light of a soul, pale and clear, with a kind of golden light that was all Aaron. But dark tendrils surrounded it, hooking it in place, worming into it the way roots of ivy worm their way into buildings until the stonework crumbles. His body seemed to pulse with chaos energy. Call reached out with his mind and felt a terrible, overwhelming coldness. The body. There was something wrong with Aaron's body.
What are you doing?
The doors of the experiment room burst open. Dazed, Call leaned against the table as Alex yelped and jumped backward. It was Master Joseph, and he looked furious. Chapter 13. Call took a step back from Aaron, stumbling over a stray book. This was Master Joseph as Call hadn't seen him before, wild-eyed and full of rage. He wore the alkahest over one hand. At the sight of it, Call's breath caught. Always before, even in the depths of his anger, Master Joseph had protected Call. In the tomb of the enemy of death, he'd even thrown himself in front of Call, ready to toss his own life away to save him. But now, he looked ready to murder Call without thinking twice.
Helping Aaron, Call stammered. You cannot meddle with what you have done,
Master Joseph shouted, spit flying from his lips.
Without a resurrection, we are nothing. The mages will overrun us, and we will be destroyed. It is only with the power of eternal life that our army can swell to destroy the assembly.
On the table, Aaron sat up. He didn't look intimidated by all the yelling. He just stared at Master Joseph impassively.
Okay, okay,
Call said, holding up his hands, placating. Alex had backed far enough away from Master Joseph that he was standing against the wall, his face the color of candle wax. Call had never seen Alex like that before, and it made him even more scared.
Don't freak out. Everything's fine.
Master Joseph took a step toward Aaron and grabbed his neck, tilting his face and looking him over like an angry car owner trying to determine if his new Mercedes had a scratch on it.
Gollum seems to be determined to show me that he's more trouble than he's worth. From the beginning he defied me. He mocked his role. He made light of the great honor bestowed on him. He threw my loyalty and my sacrifices back in my face over and over again. Well,
I think I've had enough of you ruining my plans.
Don't take it personally, Call said. Lots of people find me really annoying. It's not just you.
Call was trying to